Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. Amen. I am in the spirit of the holiday season that we are entering into. I am thankful this week. Amen. Thankful to God for bestowing upon me such wonderful, precious people. Amen. Pastor, in my life, I'm talking about my family, my parents, amen, my brother, my sisters, and my pastor, his precious wife, and my church family, amen, and I'm getting there. My mom's trying to say, and your wife, don't forget your wife, I'm getting there. I've got good leadership, I've got good friendship, amen, in this church. I was thinking as pastor's preaching on Sunday morning, talking about thanking God for the church, and I told Brother Josh afterwards, I was like, man, it is amazing how God brings people together, and he's been a friend to me, but not just Brother Josh. He's been a good friend, a great friend, sometimes a bad friend, but I've been a good friend, a bad friend, and just as well, so that's not just on him, but that's what friendships are made of. And I'm thankful that he's a friend to me, but also I was thinking, Brother Nelson, you've been a good friend to me. We've got friends that have been here a while, new friends, Brother DJ and his family, they've come back, but I've never really got to spend as much time with them until they were able to come this year, and so I'm grateful for friendships. Brother Self, and I'm starting to call names, and I'm probably going to, like, well, you didn't call my name, so you're not my friend. That's not true. Everybody that's here, I am friendly with. Amen. I'm thankful for good leadership, my pastor, his wife, my parents, my friends, good friendship, and companionship, my precious wife. You thought I forgot, didn't you? I didn't. Genuinely grateful for a good, godly wife that loves God, that has put his kingdom first and is willing to come to Kansas out of the mountains. And to a much plainer place. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. That's not really too far from where I want to go. You might be scratching your head a little bit later why I said that, but hopefully I can bring it together. I was talking to the Lord earlier, and I was like, man, I didn't say man to God, but I was like, God, help me to make this make sense tonight. I need your help. And every preacher, I'm sure, understands that. And the Lord has to give extra grace to me in that department. Amen. But this church has always been good. And I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of the Lord tonight, even on a holiday week. Amen. In spite of pastor not being the teacher. Amen. Nobody saw that me taking the mic and nobody left. It's great. Let's have church tonight. Amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. In favor with God and man. Jesus, the mighty God in Christ. The man Christ Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 52. I'm sorry, 2 verses 42. I'm sorry. Been searching a long time to try to find 52 in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Amen. By the help of the Holy Ghost, with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to you or teach, just talk for a little bit on this subject, fellowship with God and man. And let's lay down our Bibles, ask the Lord to talk to each of our hearts. I do feel like the Lord wants to speak to us. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, God, for your mighty grace, your mighty hand. Lord, the grace that you've shown to me directly, I don't want to take for granted. Lord, your mercies, God, I pray that your presence would be in the remainder of this service, that you would anoint every mind, anoint every heart, especially anoint my mind, anoint my mouth, anoint my heart. I want to be able to convey what I believe you put on my heart today. I pray in the name of Jesus. One more time, can we thank the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you, Savior. I love you, Savior. I love you, Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I want to start out by reminding you of how much the Lord wants to be in fellowship with His creation. I believe that God, I believe that God wants to be in fellowship with us so much, and I don't buy into this modern charismatic idea that he's just so, and I do believe God's in love with us, but not in the connotation that comes along with that charismatic movement. But I do believe that God created us specifically so he could have relationship, so he can have communion, so that he can develop out of our free will, which is why he gave that to us, fellowship. And I believe that I can prove that from the scriptures. Amen. But I don't want him to be the only one that desires that fellowship. I want also to reciprocate the same desire that God has. Amen. As God went to great lengths to create man and create the environment in which we find ourselves. Amen. The solar system, the universe, all of that was given so that we could find fellowship with God. And the scripture tells us that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, it says, "And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." I'll read verse 8 in just a moment, but I think this is the pinnacle. It's the apex of God's creation. Amen. Days before this, he creates light and he creates water. He separates water. He creates land. He creates plants. He creates the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the animals that go across the ground, that creep and crawl across the ground. Amen. But all of this was so that he can get to verse number 7. And start breathing into man the breath of life and instill upon us a living soul. A soul that is given to us, amen, that's not given to any other creation. And so we are special in that sense. We are the thing that God created so that we might live, amen, and not just live like the animals do with if I can use this term, in their carnal sense, in their carnal nature, driven by the natural desires and tendencies of life. But we are not just a man, but we are a living soul who should live with purpose, who should live with desires and designs and goals and ambition. And God put us here on earth for one of those ambitions, to be a relationship and fellowship with him. Amen. With all of your ambition, with all of your desire, amen, with all of the things that you've put, amen, into your life, the time that you spend at work, the time that you spend at home putting together a beautiful home and curating the garden if you are a gardener, or taking care of your property if you have some property, or in the home decorating and painting, and all of that is good, and that is a benefit of our free will and our living soul, and we have purpose and desire and goals there. Amen. But may one of your goals, this is the burning, amen, desire of my heart tonight to convey, may the burning desire of your heart also, amen, be to fellowship with God. Not just fellowship with family. Amen. We're coming together, amen, this week, amen, to enjoy good food and not burned turkey and not overcooked pumpkin pie and amen, but all the good stuff, right? The stuff that moms and daughters and not the men, hopefully. The men, you don't want them in the kitchen. Okay, sorry, Brother Josh. Sorry, Brother Nelson. I'm ruining my friendships already. Amen. Okay, let me just back up. You guys are welcome to go into the kitchen all you want to. I'm not going anywhere near the kitchen. I'd rather be playing chess or something else. And you don't want me in the kitchen either. You can just ask Brother Wadislawski. Anyway, I'm getting way too sidetracked here, but this week we set aside time. We take off work, and part of the goal here is to spend time with our family, to deepen those relationships, to spend time fellowshipping one with people we love, people we care about. Hallelujah, amen. But God put into the body of Adam the breath of life and a living soul. Why? So that we can be in fellowship with him. Verse 8, he goes on to say, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. This is just an example of what God did for Adam and Eve and for the remaining other parts of mankind that came as a result of that couple. Amen. He put them in this garden, and then that garden inside of the world, that world inside of the solar system inside of the universe, so that we can live and live our purpose according to our will. All right. God created man for himself. Bishop talked just last week in our holiness series on how God created us to please him. And I don't have the capacity or the interest to try to reteach any of what he has done. So I encourage you to go and listen to those lessons. But suffice it to say that everything we do ought to be with the goal, with the desire to truly please God. I don't want to just make it by. That might be good enough for you at your workplace. Amen, to receive the salary at the end of the week. It might be good enough for you USPS workers that work on the government dime, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. Amen, but we're not looking to just get by. Amen, we're looking to draw closer, amen, to what God wants us to be. Amen, not just to satisfy, amen, but to fellowship, to develop a relationship. Hallelujah. Amen. God created man for himself to fellowship, to have communion, to have relationship with him. Genesis 1 and 26 tells us God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created us with a purpose. I mean, when we devolve, when we fall into this following after our own carnal instincts and desires, then we fall away from God's purpose. I can just use the social norm, the Overton window that's moved so catastrophically over the last few years, that where the quote-unquote woke mind virus has affected, I mean, humankind. If we are just subject to our own mind and desires and plans, amen, then we're subject to fail. But if we go back to what God designed originally with his image, with his purpose, amen, male and female created he, hallelujah, he, them. Hallelujah, I don't want to get too sidetracked there, but I want you to understand there's a principle here that when God created us, it wasn't just flippantly, but he created us with a purpose, created with this, with an intention, with a desire. I mean, after Adam and Eve hid themselves from God, God still had a desire to be with them. Genesis 3 verse 8 says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where did you go? I'm looking for my friend. I'm looking for somebody that I once had fellowship. I'm looking. Amen. God knew what happened to Adam and Eve. He wasn't blinded by that. He wasn't confused by that. He knows all things. Amen. But he came back to that garden, amen, to let Adam know, hey, I don't care what you have done. Amen. I still want this fellowship with you. I'm ready to make it possible so that you can be in relationship with me again. I'm not satisfied, amen, with this distance that you placed between us. I want to reconcile. I want to put this back together. I want to have fellowship with you, Adam. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm telling you, that is true for us today. No matter how far we wander from God, no matter how far we go, amen, in our own life, we feel like we do not qualify. We shouldn't be in the vicinity of God's presence. Let me tell you, amen, God still has a great desire to have fellowship with you, amen, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter where you've gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 1 and 18 tells us, amen, explains to us, articulates clearly for us God's desire and vested interest. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as... Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the cleansing blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what fellowship. Another song says, oh, what fellowship. Oh, what joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. I'm so thankful for God's fellowship, God's goodness towards us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we fellowship with him, he will restore us. That's his desire. He'll restore us to that original state that he designed us to be in. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter where you are right now. The solution is getting closer to God. I said the solution is to come as close as you can to God. To be in fellowship with him. I mean, that's why Jesus went on the cross, Brother Hall. That's why God came, amen, down, amen, born of a virgin, amen, shaped, amen. He subjected himself, amen, to the rudiments of this world so that we can come back into fellowship with him. Do you understand, amen, the desire, amen, that is driving God? Can you see, amen, that great desire in his heart, amen, to just talk with us, to just be with us, amen, so that we can be with him? Hallelujah. I understand this is a Tuesday night. This is going way too fast-paced for a Tuesday night, so let me reel it down, I guess. Hallelujah. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's what it's like to be in fellowship with God. Pleasures forever. Incomparable. You cannot compare, amen, what you can feel in the presence of God. You can go into a social club. You can go at the nightclub. You can go into an academic club. You can go to any kind of forum or gathering of humans, and you will never find the fulfillment that you find in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In his presence is fullness of joy. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. The apostle writing an epistle, presumably to a congregation, telling them that we want you to be in fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, talking about the ministry's fellowship, the fellowship of the apostles, is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. We're not satisfied with our relationship with God. We're not satisfied. It's not enough for Bishop to develop his own walk with God and bring the Word of God on a Sunday morning or Tuesday night. Amen. And we can just reap the benefits of his fellowship with God. No, that's John is directly addressing this. He's saying it's not enough for me to have fellowship with God. I want you to have fellowship with God. I want you to come closer to God. I want you to come closer. Hallelujah, church. Amen. There is nothing that could ever replace this. This is what God designed us for, so we can have fellowship. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's in the context of fellowship with God that John describes our need to confess our sins. The same passage, John, 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4. The very next verse, verse 5, says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. That's how we come closer. Verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Huh. Interesting. I don't want to get too sidetracked or too far ahead of myself, but the apostle is introducing another layer of fellowship here. Amen. First, he's saying, yes, I want you to come and be in fellowship with God. But if you follow the pattern, if you follow and obey what we are telling you, then you will no longer walk in darkness. You're going to walk in light. And those of you who are walking in light will then be in fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have something in common, that God's blood redeemed us, that God's blood changed us. Amen. What fellowship? There's no better friends, I would say. Amen. There's no better leadership, I would say. Amen. There's no better companionship than those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us all from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what John's saying. He's saying, basically, if you try to act like that, you're let me tell you something. Amen. The righteous, the who's who, and those who try to claim that they are living above sin, let me just tell you, the apostle says that they are liars. Amen. We've all been guilty of sin. We've all been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We've all been set and made righteous by God's blood, by Jesus' blood, by the blood of the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you enter into his presence, amen, it should automatically elicit that confession. I think about the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. He's in fellowship with the Lord. He is in the presence of God, witnessing the glory of God firsthand. And what happens to Isaiah? We all know this passage. This is not unfamiliar to us. But verse 5 says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the glory of hosts. When I step into fellowship with God, it should elicit, forgive me and for But I was in the back over here, and I overheard someone praying. Amen. It was somebody that we all respect, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I overheard, and he was saying, God, if I've done anything wrong, I want you to forgive me. God, if I made a mistake this week, I want you to help me. God, please don't let me step outside of your will. I want to do what's right. Amen. Let me tell you, that's somebody who's trying to come into fellowship with Almighty God. Amen. We recognize that we're living in a state, amen, that's conducive to sin. Amen. That is readily available. Sin is at our fingertips. Amen. In our phones. Amen. On our jobs, at our school, with every single turn and flip. Amen. You see sin everywhere. Amen. But I am interested in putting all of that away and coming closer. Amen. To one that designed me. Oh, that designed me to be in fellowship with him. Do you understand that all of those things are just attempts of the enemy, amen, to pull you away, to create that separation, amen, from you and God, amen, to push and to pull, amen, whatever's necessary so you can be away from God. Hallelujah. I mean, that's why church is so important. Amen. Because it's a rigorous schedule. It's a consistent schedule that allows us, amen, to consistently put ourselves, bring our flesh into subjection and say, even on a holiday week, I'm going to go and see my God. Even on a holiday week, I'm going to spend time with my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be in close fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 2 and 18 tells us, amen, that it's not good. This is Genesis 2 verse 18. It says, and the Lord said, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. God realized, because we're made in his image, God has a desire to be in fellowship with others. And then he started realizing, and you just have to let my imagination run, but it only took him one chapter, okay? So he created the man, and he's like, oh, wait, he's also going to have a desire to be in fellowship. To have somebody else of their own free will to have an interest in them. And so he solved that problem and gave to him Eve. But I want you to take notice of what the Bible tells us about Adam and Eve in the forming of this relationship. Genesis 2 verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from a man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. He brought the bride unto the man. Verse 23, it says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Everybody say bone of my bones. And flesh of my flesh. Everybody say flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Now, if the first Adam, if the bride of the first Adam was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, what about the bride of the second Adam? That is Christ Jesus. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I do want to just make this point. Bishop has taught at length on this subject about the church being the bride of Christ, being the body of Christ, being formed out of Christ. And John chapter 19 verse 34 tells us, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Friends, we are out of the side of Jesus. If we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, if we've been baptized in his name, if we've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, if we've repented of our sins, it is out of his side. Amen. On the cross that we came out. Amen. As the bride of Christ. Amen. Now we are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. Amen. Apostle Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular, amen, when we come together in the unity of the Spirit, amen, when we come together in fellowship with one another, we become the body of Christ, amen, wherein God's Spirit dwells. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, amen, I'm here to tell you that God wants a place to dwell in. That's why he created Jesus, amen, to be born of a virgin for the salvation of mankind so that he could have someone to commune with, to fellowship. Oh, hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. As the church, we're his body, according to Romans 12 and 5, Ephesians 4 and 12, with individual members and functions in that body. Amen. But importantly, we are the body of Christ. Amen. Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what that means? Amen. That means we can't cast judgment on anybody else that's inside of the body. Amen. That we're just here. We're a part of the same body. Amen. We're having fellowship one with another. Amen. In a unity. Amen. That only the body of Christ, amen, exemplified. Hallelujah. God help me to convey this tonight. Jesus said in his own prayer in John chapter 17, amen, that I want these to become one as we are one. Make them one in us. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants us to be unified in fellowship one with another, not arguing, not bickering, not striving one against another. Amen. But as a body, as a unit, unified. I heard this in a podcast the other day. Interesting point was made. The man said the word community is a conjugation of two words. Common unity. Community is the combination of two words. Common unity. Where there is a group of people who come together with that have something in common and are unified. Let me ask you this. What community on earth has any more in common than the people of God? Is there anything else? I understand family. You are literally bone of their bone, flesh of their flesh. But outside of family, I don't think there's any organization, any community that ought to be more tightly knit than the church, than the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And Jesus exemplified this. When he came to earth, the Bible tells us that he found favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. Amen. If we want to be in fellowship with one another, amen, we've got to strive to be in favor with one another, to please one another, to not just go off and separate ourselves, but to do what we can to come together. Hallelujah. That's why God issued us a man of God. That's the Bible actually talks about the ministry as being a gift from God. That's why God gave to us a pastor. That can set vision, that can set direction, amen, that can unify, that can embody a purpose, a desire, a goal. Hallelujah. I want to be in fellowship with God, amen, but I also want to be in fellowship with one another, amen. And I believe that if we can come together in one mind and one accord, amen, in every opportunity possible, that we can be in greater fellowship with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The apostle wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4 and 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said there is one body, not two, not three, not different factions, different parts, but one body, just as there is one Spirit. even as you're called in one hope of your calling. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. There am I in the midst of them. He said, I'm going to show up where there are some who've come together in the unity of the Spirit, where my Spirit is, where my Spirit and will, is driving that fellowship, where my Spirit, is leading that fellowship. I'm going to show up. People that are seeking after, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. People that are seeking my fellowship, people that have a desire, this common goal and desire, I will be there in the midst of them. Hallelujah. I believe that's the desire of this church. When we come together, it's not enough just to high five and to shake hands. Not enough to just get another seat in another pew. It's not enough, to see people, beautiful faces all over this place. We've got to come in unity. We've got to come in fellowship. We've got to come in together. John 17:19 says, and for this sake, for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Hallelujah. Jesus said this is how you're going to become one, is if the Father is dwelling in you. Hallelujah. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh baptism of the Spirit of God. We need a fresh outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. Friend, that's what will unify us better than any agenda, better than any ambition, better than any organization. It's the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say, verse 21, reading the conclusion of this scripture, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe me, believe that thou hast sent me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How long have I been preaching? It's 8:30 now. I think I took it about 7:30, is that right? Ish. So I'm going to try to wrap it up. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that we ought to be partakers with Jesus. Jesus is our example. He's a second Adam. He's the body from which we came. And so if we are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, we ought to mimic. We ought to follow his example. Hebrews 2, verse 14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Friend, do you understand that we have power over death through Jesus Christ? That's amazing. Hallelujah. That is the devil. And verse 15 says, let me just throw this in since I stopped and made that point, that we also have power over the devil. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we should be partakers of his death, as he said in Hebrews chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, verse 16 through 17, the cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So we are born of both blood and water, the death and the burial, which is why we uphold the sacrament of communion. Bishop mentioned this the other day, but I just will circle back and underscore it here, that it's so important that we participate in that sacrament of communion, because it is a reminder to us of the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. It's a way that we can express memory and association with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe the scripture gives us insight into why it's so important that we maintain that sacrament as commanded in the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." That's why God created us, so we can be in communion with him. That's why we call it communion. Amen. It's not just grape juice and unleavened bread. There's more going on there. Hallelujah. We are becoming unified, really, even in action and in deed, but in obedience to Christ's command that we should take this communion. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter, I just read that, so I don't want to read it again. Sorry. Amen. To put a finer point on this, if we are in fellowship with God, it's not possible to be in fellowship with anyone else. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21 says this: "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils." Of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Have you ever tried to drink out of two cups at the same time? You're going to make a mess. I have, and I have experience. You can't take out of two cups at the same time. If you're going to be in fellowship with Christ, you shouldn't be in fellowship with anything else. There ought to be a line drawn. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" Sister Tori, you can come give them a little bit of hope because I am almost finished here. But I was praying about this scripture because I felt in my mind, just in my simple brain, I was thinking, you know, this kind of goes against everything that I've preached up to this point. We want to be in fellowship with God and fellowship with man. So I was praying, I was asking God, how does this work into this principle, this lesson that your life taught us? And then I began to think about during Jesus' ministry, he was made fun of, or he was chided because he was fellowshipping and spending time with publicans and other kinds of sinners. And so this is also part of his lifestyle. So I'm seeking what is then, because obviously, you know, if you fellowship too much with those that are in the world, you're going to, I mean, I've heard pastors say it this way, that if you wrestle with pigs, you're going to get dirty. So what is the line? How do you draw that line of fellowship? And I'm not saying the Lord spoke to me. I'm just saying the thought came to me while I was praying that. And that is this, that it's your nature of fellowship. What is the motivation behind that relationship? Now, that is, it's not rocket science, but if your motivation for drawing that friendship is they're elevated in your mind, and wow, this is pretty cool, what they're doing is pretty cool, then you're going to follow that. But if you're the one that is leading the relationship and you're pursuing a relationship with God, then I think that the nature of that fellowship is better. Can I just say it that way? And you can lead them closer to God. Amen. Hopefully I didn't confuse anybody. And if you did, pastor's right here. You can ask him the questions. You can come in fellowship with him. Invite me to your party too, so I can learn too. But not only do we fellowship with Christ in our death and burial, but what Paul said in Philippians 3:10, he says, that I may know him. I want to be in fellowship with him. And of the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, those are definitely a part of this. But he goes on to say, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is just as much a part of our fellowship with him as repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. I said it a minute ago, but I'll say it again. There is nothing that really compares to living a life that's been resurrected by the power of God's Spirit. There's nothing that compares. There's no other fellowship, no relationship man to woman, no relationship man to man. There is no other relationship that can ever compare with a direct and personal relationship between you and God. And God gave us this, if we could all stand together, this plan so that we can come and be closer to Him. Do us oneness apostolics, tongue-talking Pentecostals, really understand what we have? We have a Garden of Eden-like experience available to us. Oh, what joy. Oh, what mercy. Oh, what love. Oh, what unity. Oh, what fellowship. There's nothing like being in the presence of Almighty God. Paul said it to the Ephesians in Ephesians 3, verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God." Do you understand that the sages of old, the prophets of the Old Testament, those who were most loyal to God, sought for the kind of relationship that we can have today? He said, "Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him." What is the fellowship of this mystery? It's unparalleled by any other. You can't find another relationship that can replicate this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost," Paul said, "be with you all." Be with you all. He didn't just say, "This is for a select few. This is for the elite. This is for the best of the best." Every one of you in this place, I hope that I've made this message in such a way that it appeals to your spirit. You want to be in fellowship with God. Amen. These altars are open if you wish. Amen. I want to come closer to be with God. I want to take part of His precious blood, the burial, and the resurrection. I want to become unified with God, with His people.